Welcome to the One Right Church podcast, where we will discuss what it's like to believe that you attend the only right church. My name is Mark Shaw, and I spent the first 45 years of my life in the Followers of Christ Church in Oregon City, believing I was in the One Right Church. Our hope is that by simply sharing our story, that we would urge people to look to the Bible for answers instead of their religious traditions. We want to encourage people to trust in Jesus for their salvation and not in attending the One Right Church. Let's get started.
Hey, Scott.
Hi there, Mark.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. You're actually starting a new job here pretty soon.
Very soon, yeah. Tomorrow is my last day at this job that I've had for 4 years now.
Congratulations.
So, yeah.
That's exciting. Looking forward
to the change.
So. I'll bet.
Yeah. Well, hey, we've spent some time defining some terms recently, and so I kind of wanted to go away from that. And I've been thinking this week about a couple of different verses that were just really quoted a lot at Followers, and I've really come to think that they were really misquoted or taken out of context. And I thought maybe we could just take a verse this week, maybe another one next week, and just talk about those. And
okay,
so the first one is about church tradition, and tradition was a really big deal at Followers. It was it was kind of the ruling principle, I would say, in my life. It
okay.
was that you had to go by the traditions.
Well, I know you didn't want to define anything, but yeah, really, you can't just throw out tradition
yeah.
without kind of telling me what you mean, because yeah. I'll just tell you, one of the things that I loved, I was a youth pastor for a while,
yeah,
and we would do something fun,
mm-hmm.
and immediately, we'd do it one time, mm-hmm. and the kids would say, oh, are we going to do that again this year?
Yeah.
Because it's become a tradition.
Right.
When you're young, you do things once, and it's tradition,
yep.
but what did you mean
yeah.
by tradition?
Yeah, well, the way it was always used is kind of that way, only longer term. Like this, we do this way because this is the way it was done before. And so it's just how things had been done in the past is, I guess, my first shot at trying to define.
So it's just a practical,
yeah.
it's a tradition if it's something you do. You
right.
know, okay.
Right.
And you do repeatedly.
You do repeatedly,
okay.
yeah. And so the verse that was used was from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15, and it says, in the KJV, it says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle.
Okay.
And that was probably one of the verses that I heard the most in my life, and it was about keeping me, you're smiling already.
Well, I'm smiling because in some respect, you don't need a verse
right.
to have a tradition. You
right.
can have people have Thanksgiving traditions or they
sure.
have some other traditions,
sure.
but they don't need Bible verses for it. I just
right.
think it's interesting. I'm smiling because
right.
you've got a Bible verse for this tradition.
Well, and doesn't that a little bit tell you the importance of tradition too, that we're supporting our need to hold to traditions by supporting it with this verse. We're saying,
well, I think what you're, yeah, the importance of tradition, you're probably telling me that it's more important than I'm like noticing at first blush. I mean, I hear tradition,
yeah.
blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But you're telling me, no, it's more than tradition, blah, blah, blah. It's a matter of biblical importance
right.
to keep the tradition.
Right. I think as I'm thinking about this right now, I grew up believing that what made us the One Right Church was the traditions that we held to, that others didn't.
Well, probably the traditions you held were very distinctive.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
I don't know what they were.
Yeah.
What were some traditions that you would hear this verse quoted about?
So it was a lot about the way we would not seek medical care. That was a church tradition that you
okay.
don't do. It was the way we treat people who leave is that was based on tradition, because you would ask the question, why can't we have anything to do with someone who's left? Well, that's just what we do. That was the, but why? You know, I would ask, but, and I'd press it a little bit, and that was, this is what the ministry set up. And that was the leadership was called, that's what we referred to them as, is this is what the ministry set up. And that would usually put an end to the questions, because everybody that's was
tradition,
kind of, a lot of people were afraid to, it would look at like you were challenging the ministry if you pressed it any further. So yeah, they would use that verse to say that really anything that our leadership said became tradition. Like this, whatever the leadership says, you don't argue with it, and we go by what they set up, and then we hold fast to it. Like this, we stand fast and hold that tradition. And so I
don't know what to say about that.
Well,
some of it, I mean, as a church leader, that sounds pretty good. Yeah, so there you go. Just do what I say.
Yeah.
But,
the problem, though, is I ran into this verse. Well, I was always challenged by that, because I always wanted an explanation. And when you tell me to do something, I always wanted to know why you want me to do it, which is a flaw that I have probably. But I ran into this verse where Paul is talking about the Bereans in Acts 17, and he commends the Bereans, saying that so Acts 17 verse 10, the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica, which I think is where, he says, they received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. So they didn't just take whatever Paul said and establish it as tradition and hold firm to it. They sought, you know, they read the scriptures to see if what he's saying is right. And I mean, I know you said that sounds pretty good if people would just do that, but that's a lot of pressure.
I was just going to say it's a lot of pressure. That was going to be the next thing I just said. Yeah, that's a lot of pressure. And especially when Paul considers them noble for not doing that.
Yeah.
That to examine it and match it up with Scripture is, that's probably more noble for sure.
Yeah, so I just think it's important really to examine your traditions. I think when your traditions do line up with the teaching of the Bible, then I think that we should stand fast and hold to those traditions. But I don't think we should take that verse and say we don't challenge what we're taught, or we don't challenge what was done before.
Well, it's not any tradition, you wouldn't think, right?
Right.
I mean, a tradition of, tradition of going to Disneyland every summer isn't a tradition.
Right.
I mean, it's not, church leaders will never say that, but
but
you still are, not all traditions are created equal, is one thing.
Right.
And so you would have to maybe question some while you accept others even, but nonetheless,
sure,
you're still asking questions, right?
Yeah. Well, and then the other argument I think that makes this a misinterpretation of this quote is, like, just take you and I, for example. We both grew up in a church, and we were both taught different things. We were both taught traditions, church traditions.
Okay.
But if they were different, what do we do now? Do I stand fast to the ones I was taught, and you stand fast to the ones you were taught? And like, how do we know if a tradition is good? How do we know if we should stand fast to a tradition?
Well, I think either by the word or the epistle that you have, you know, in other words, the writing of Scripture would be your way. Yeah. And the thing is, a lot of traditions, and I imagine this is even the case for some that you're mentioning, mm-hmm. were established with good, you know, for good reasons, but ended up not being helpful. I mean, I was trying to think, okay, because I figured you'd say that I was a traditionalist too, and I had to say—
I don't even know what that is.
It's somebody who holds to traditions.
Oh, okay.
So I like, okay, what traditions did yeah. my church have
yeah.
growing up? And a lot of it had to do with like how you dressed. You dressed, mm. or, you know, the preacher wore a tie, or there was a, right. you know, we did it the same way every time.
Right.
Tradition. We stood, we opened the hymnal, and— mm-hmm. we had an organ and a piano, and those things were traditions. Now, the thing about those traditions, were they fine when they got started? Sure. But things do change, and there isn't that. A lot of times you will create a tradition for a reason, like, say, a preacher wearing a tie, okay? I'm anti ties, just okay. for the record, but that might be why, because that was the case. But I think that was probably to show respect or to mm-hmm. show, like, this is an important thing, where I don't know that if I was to wear a tie, like on Sunday when I preach, mm-hmm. if it would communicate that or not.
Right.
You know, so in other words, the tradition no longer serves the thing.
Right.
Over time. And I think that's something that is important to acknowledge too. And so, again, you have to go back like the Bereans did and check and see if these things are still so, probably.
Yeah.
Because you can commit to the tradition and miss what's underneath the tradition or the right. reason for the tradition or the heart of the Scripture in it.
Yeah,
because you're so committed to the tradition. I mean, that's what the Pharisees did. They would build sort of a fence around the commandment to make sure they kept it, but then they would commit on the fence. They wouldn't really commit on the command, and their heart wasn't to keep the command. It was to protect the fence.
Right.
And even Jesus asked them, like, why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition?
Right.
Because they had become so committed to their tradition that they couldn't get the command straight, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and in another place he tells them that you serve me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. It's mm-hmm. these practical things that they're doing on a daily basis and the boxes that they're checking. They think that's service to God, and that he says, your hearts are far from me. And I definitely found myself there, like trying to do all these traditions the way I'm supposed to, and it wasn't creating a relationship with God in my experience mm-hmm. at all.
Well, so, that's really not what traditions do,
right?
I mean, traditions, if you had a relationship with God, there are traditions, say, like in a liturgical church where you do these certain readings or certain prayers that form this, I don't know, rhythm annually or just regularly, that your heart then does like get yeah. drawn to the Lord that yeah. way. It can, traditions can do that, but for yeah. the most part, they're not good at starting a relationship with God. They're not
right.
good at, you know, making it happen. So there is that.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, the Pharisees, and then in my experience too, I think it can actually detour your vision away from God. Mm-hmm. I think you can get distracted by them. And so that's, and then the really confusing part at Followers is a lot of these traditions had to change over the years. And we've talked about that, how right. everything had to change because of the way it was set up. And when leadership was not there anymore, all the things that he was responsible for, we had to come up with other ways to do it. And then when the leadership was gone, they were the ones who married people. Well, then we had to come up with a new tradition. And people got more upset about whether these new traditions were, like, they were upset about them being different than the old ones, but we weren't at least I wasn't, and nobody I was talking to was looking to see if they were against Scripture, or, you know, we just needed to do these practical things still because those were our traditions. Mm-hmm. And so it was challenging.
Well, I mean, and that's really kind of how traditions are. They're the way we normally do things. And so you may not ask the question about it being scriptural or whatever. And you should get married, and there should be weddings and all of those things. So, you know, you wouldn't maybe ask those questions initially,
right?
At least because you should do them.
The part that was hard for me to reconcile was, okay, we still need to get married, so we're going to create a way to do that. And there was some trial and error, and they tried different things, and they ended up, we figured out a way to still get married at the church. But then when it came to baptism, we didn't make any adjustments. We didn't make any change. We didn't make any provision. We didn't compromise. So for marriage, yes. For baptism, no. Oh. And I never could reconcile that. Like, why this and not that? Why will we change here and not there?
And that's actually a good question.
Yeah. So that's really the question that I want to ask people too, is why, what stops people from questioning what they've been taught? What stops you from challenging your traditions or questioning your traditions? Challenging is probably too strong of a word, but just questioning your traditions.
Yeah, which is, I mean, I think if it's a good tradition, it should stand up under the questioning.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And, you know, I just, one of the verses that comes to my mind on traditions is really kind of at the heart of things. As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. How did you receive him? By faith. So walk by faith, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Then it says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. So the obligation here is it isn't so much to like doubt or question traditions as it is to make sure that your tradition reconciles with Jesus, because you're going to live by faith in Jesus and being rooted and established in the faith as you were taught, and in him dwells all the fullness of deity bodily. So you're going to want to make sure that no one makes you do traditions apart from Jesus. So you're in that respect, you're going to kind of always double check your traditions, which I think is a good practice.
Right. And that's the importance to me, is that I don't want people taking for granted that if they're holding to their traditions that they've been taught, that is connecting them to Jesus. That I don't want that being taken for granted by anyone, because it's, like we said earlier, that's not good at establishing a relationship with God. And I do think that was happening at Followers. I think I think my faith was in our traditions and our church and the way we did things and the way we were started. And my faith was in us, not in Jesus.
I would imagine that's the case. And that's kind of what this verse is about. Let no one take you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition. Because if you're being led away from, not led away, but even just if you ignore Jesus because of tradition, you're missing the main thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I asked the question, what stops people from questioning what they've been taught? And really for me, it started out as just laziness. Like I just didn't want my life to change. I wanted everything to stay the way it was. I just did what I just said I didn't want people to do. I just took for granted that if I do these things, then I will be pleasing God. And then when I didn't, I guess I would just say it was just easier. The other part of laziness was it was just easier to listen to the talking points in an argument and pick up on which ones were popular and which ones were not liked, and then just repeat the good ones. I was just lazy that way. Rather than go to the Bible and form my own opinion, I would just listen to people have arguments and go, well, that argument that he made, whether it's right or wrong, it didn't go over well. And that's all I was looking at, is what's popular. And so that, yeah, I think that was just laziness on my part. And then once I did know that was wrong, then it was because of fear that I didn't question. I was afraid of rocking the boat. I was afraid that my kids would suffer. That's really a big thing at follower. If you get labeled as someone who's questioning things, then your children will pay the price for that. They won't let their kids be around your kids anymore. So your kids will lose their friends if you're, because they think they can't risk their kids hearing the wrong thing at your house or, you know. So there's fear there. And then I was really just afraid that I would find out that I was wrong. I kind of knew I was, but I didn't want it to be confirmed.
Yeah, especially when you don't when you think that, you don't want to make sure, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then the fear of what it would cost to be wrong, you know. You just know the next steps once you start challenging the traditions or questioning the traditions. It's just you know how we treat people who leave there, and it doesn't work very well to question the traditions and stay there. It's just because then you get back into the thing. Your kids suffer.
Probably doesn't work very well anywhere to
it
just
doesn't,
stay and, you know, do the traditions. I mean, if you go to a Blazer game and they have traditions and you just say, I don't like that, you're not going to. You might be ushered out.
Yeah,
even.
You just
knows,
go and root for the Lakers every time at the Blazer game. No, that's good. But I like that. I like that verse that you brought up. And really, I mean, I want people to think about the verses that they do hear repeated. And I would love it if they would read the context of those and see if they're being used correctly, like the Thessalonians one that we started with, and then. Really on this traditions one, I just want to kind of point people back to Jesus, to don't put your faith in any tradition.
Yeah. I mean, you say don't put your faith in it, but the verse you started with did say stand fast and hold the traditions.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a place for tradition.
For sure.
But it is a second place. It's not the first place.
Right.
The first
That's
place.
That's a great way to say
The
it.
First place is to make sure that you've received Christ Jesus the Lord and so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. That's the first place. Then, as you make sure that no one takes you captive with these human traditions, you can have traditions. You can have favorite hymns. You can have favorite practices. You can have things, good habits that you do or that the church corporately does. Those are traditions, are the good habits. That's great.
Yeah.
But they got to take the second place. They can't take the first place.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great way to say what I was meaning to say. So thank you for that. We didn't sing any hymns that had the word tradition in them.
But they were traditional hymns.
They were very traditional hymns. Yes, they were.
Which is kind of interesting. I mean, that is one of the church traditions.
Yeah.
Was to sing hymns.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the reasons that we close the podcast with it is because it's one of the traditions. So,
And it's a tradition of this podcast.
And it's a tradition that, you know, as you question is worth, that's a good illustration of this whole thing.
Yeah.
You question the tradition of singing the hymns,
right.
And then you say, that's a good tradition.
Yeah.
Let's do that on our podcast.
So there you go. Yeah.
What do you got today?
Yeah. Well, we've used it before, but... Rock of Ages, and it says, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. That is not what it says in the hymnal that we used. I'm looking online at this, but it said, be of sin,
Sing it for us, Mark.
Save me from its guilt and power, is what it said. Save me from its guilt and power. Be of sin the double cure, save me from its guilt and power. Either way works. But the second verse, and this is with the idea of thinking that something you can do, like holding to traditions, will somehow put you in right relationship with God. I think this is speaks to that a little bit. It says, not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. And then verse 3 says, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. And that's really why we do this podcast. That's why we, like, I like the way you said that. Tradition can be good, but it needs to be second to Jesus.
So, good.
Well, thanks.
Thank you.
Well, hopefully this has been helpful. If you have questions or comments or a topic that you would like us to cover, you can reach us at comments@onerightchurch.com. And for more information, you can visit our website, www.onerightchurch.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.